What happens if you microwave a smaller microwave? Do AirPods imply the existence of EarthPods? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Hello everyone and welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the number one paranormal podcast in the world, I think. Currently, I haven't checked the numbers recently.
The legal team might have to get back on that one, yeah.
My name is Rory Powers. Across from me sits Kit Greer Mulvenna.
Hi.
We are two paranormal investigators who every week sit down at this table. Sometimes it's a different table. The table's really irrelevant in the production of the show.
Shouldn't have brought it up.
Shouldn't have mentioned it. And we decide once and for all whether or not a paranormal case is true or it is false. Rattling off some of the big ones we've done so far. Bigfoot. The Chupacabra. Area 51. Ghosts in general.
That was episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4. We are now at episode, 370?
There's been a lot in between, yeah. A lot of it that really doesn't need mentioning.
Yeah, less easy to remember.
Yeah, I think there was someone called the Vegetable Man, and his legs
were
made
of
carrots.
Yeah.
And the townspeople ate him with a Sunday roast.
Yeah, I think he turned out actually to just be a Victory Bell Pokemon card that someone confused for an actual cryptid.
But Kit, let me tell you, I have an absolute banger in store for us today.
Okay, very strong words. Exciting, though. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that I've been back here for 4 or 5 days and we are on day 6 of a storm.
Yeah.
It's been a storm consistently.
No, I think you just forgot what it's like here. This is a pretty nice April for us. You just forgot.
My mom said goodbye this morning when she left the house and I watched her blow away. I think she might be dead.
Like a wheelie bin. In a Cat 5 hurricane, she went into the sky. Hope she's gonna land somewhere safe.
She took off into the air like Mary Poppins, just unfolded her umbrella and shot up like a jumbo jet.
Yeah.
So I may not see her again.
Rory's gonna
this
have
earth.
To telephone Oz on our lunch break, see if she's turned up anywhere.
Is my mom there? Yeah, she's here again. Okay.
Yep, Yellow Brick Road. Okay.
But the good thing is, all of this stormy weather and thunder and rain is the perfect setting for an absolutely incredible, groundbreaking, paranormal story.
Yeah, we're not going to have to plug in the thunder crashes in post. They're going to be happening on the natch here.
Listeners of the podcast, you might have paid for your whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
Hell yes. Yes.
So let's dive into today's story.
It is a free podcast, though.
Okay, well, don't. Yeah, of course, but some people.
Well, some people are listening to the ad-free copy on patreon.com, so to be fair.
Great segue, Kit. You can find every episode of This Paranormal Life ad-free on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. And for everyone listening on the public feed, time for a quick word from today's sponsors. All right, our story today begins on January 11th, 1966. It was a cold, wintry day in the small suburban town of Wanacue, New Jersey. Now, Wanacue is a beautiful little borough. Beautiful lakes, charming neighborhoods, and a population of roughly 11,000 people.
Small town.
But by the end of the night of January 11th, all 11,000 of those residents would Wanacue for the exit door.
Whoa.
Because they were about to witness something out of this world.
Because they lived in New Jersey.
It started with a radio call around 6:30 at night. Wanacue patrolman Joseph Sisko was out in his cruiser when a message came through the transmitter.
This is WR Dispatch. We're getting reports of a wildfire of some kind.
A wildfire? In January? The weather was currently so cold that the Wanacue River was frozen over. Something wasn't adding up. Before Joseph could even respond, the radio buzzed again.
Now we're getting reports of something hovering in the sky.
Joseph grabbed the radio. Sisko here. Where are the reports coming from?
Well, everywhere.
It's true. These calls were coming from Oakland, Ringwood, Patterson, Tottawa, and Butler.
Not Tottawa.
Claiming that there was a flying saucer over the Wanacue Reservoir. 6:30 is way too early in this shift for things to be happening.
Yeah.
If you're on the night shift and something is going down in the first, I assume, 30 minutes, that means it happened on the day shift. It definitely happened on the day shift. And someone turned off that radio when the call came in.
Right. Yeah. If you, you know, you're down at the precinct, you've just clocked off, you've actually got a dinner reservation with your wife, the babysitter's booked. You walk out of the precinct, you're now in your civilian uniform, you're in your Levi's 501s white t-shirt, and you see a burglary underway. You see six guys in ski masks jump out of a van. You got a decision to make. Do you go back to the precinct, get changed? I don't know if you really need to get changed. I guess you could just be undercover. Or are you just like, heads up, night shift guys?
Yeah, just so you know, it just happened.
Right.
I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, you check your watch, 6.01 p.m. You're like, yes, none of my business.
I might join them. That sounds great. I'm a civilian now. I can crime.
You're stepping into your car. You hear gunshots.
Oh, rolling up the windows. Taking the cop siren off the top of your car.
Turn up the radio.
Yeah, this is like when I worked in a restaurant and I arrived for my shift and they said, hey, enjoy it. Pretty packed house tonight. By the way, someone rubs shit all over the bathroom walls.
I'm assuming that
happened at 1 p.m. There is no way somebody just rubbed shit on the walls right when you're ending your shift.
Don't say it. If you're the person leaving and if they haven't noticed yet, just because then there's enough reasonable doubt that it might have just happened.
Yeah, and if the person's putting on their apron and they're like, okay, sounds good. The bathroom smells terrible. Is there anything that I should be aware of in the bathroom? Huh. Yeah. I've been
in the kitchen. It's so slammed that I guess I haven't checked. I guess I haven't checked lately. But
I haven't checked the shit walls. The regular walls. I haven't checked the walls of the bathroom. Why even talk about the walls?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. These 6:30 a.m., these guys have barely sipped their Dunkin'.
Yeah.
The iced donut is undisturbed. That donut might go stale the way this day is panning out.
He's sitting down in that car going, all right, time to start the day. Turns on the radio and goes, so Doug, are you coming to check out that triple homicide? What? I just sat down. So Cisco headed over to where the reports have been coming from. Right by the Raymond Dam at the Wanacue Reservoir. When he arrived, he pulled his cruiser over to get his bearings. But before he even got out of the car, he could see it glowing in the sky. Cisco said, quote, there was a light that looked bigger than any of the stars, about the size of a softball or volleyball. It was a pulsating white stationary light that would change to red. It stayed in the air. There was no noise. As he sat and watched this strange object hover over the frozen reservoir, another car pulled up beside him. To Cisco's surprise, out of the car stepped the mayor of Wanacue, Harry T. Wolfe, alongside councilman Warren Hagstrom and Arthur Barton. If you're about to witness a paranormal event, this is the ultimate collection of people that could turn up.
This is like when the Joker leaves a message for Gotham scrawled on a wall somewhere with a bunch of policemen tied up by their ankles shouting for help. For some reason, the mayor's always stepping out of a car like, my God.
Well, it's great because usually when someone witnesses something paranormal, they're like, if only somebody else was here to witness this.
Yeah.
In Cisco's case, a clown car filled with 30 people rolls up. People start getting out and it's like, oh, hey, it's me, Mr. Mayor. I'm here on a field trip with 20 photographers from the local university.
to cut the ribbon on this reservoir. Oh, what's that?
Yeah. We also have a number of visiting scientists from the NASA headquarters. They'll just be looking up for the next 45 minutes. Also along with us, we have an interesting man who has a medical condition that means he can't lie. So anything he sees or says he sees, everyone will know is true.
It's like the time we investigated a paranormal case where I think a UFO appeared above like a photographer's convention or something. And we had it was the most documented paranormal case in history.
Or the time the UFO allegedly appeared above a football stadium.
Yeah, can't believe you gave that one a no.
I shouldn't have brought that up because I don't want you to remember
that's crazy to
how
me.
Angry
that's
you were when I gave that, no, so. Gave that a no. Hey, maybe we'll revisit it. Maybe we'll give it a yes. Not now, though, because this is quite important.
Yeah, I'm actually pissed now.
They'd heard reports of the object and wanted to catch a glimpse of this UFO for themselves. Also with them was the mayor's 14-year-old son, Billy. When interviewed later by reporters, 14-year-old Billy said that the object was flying low, gliding oddly over the vast frozen lake like a huge star. But it didn't flicker. Billy told the reporters the next day, it was just a continuous light that changed from white to red to green and then back to white.
Why are we talking to him? He's the one person we don't trust in this clown car. Is a 14-year-old.
The fact that the mayor of the town is standing right there and all of these reporters are like, Billy, Billy, over here, Billy.
Billy's been playing Star Wars Battlefront for 3 days. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
The group sat watching this bizarre object hover as the police radio continued to go wild, blasting out reports from all over the town. Sisko decided to call his buddy, who he knew was on patrol nearby. Maybe he knew what this thing was. But his buddy, Officer George Dykeman, also had no idea. In fact, just as he received Sisko's call, two teenagers ran up and knocked on the window of his police car, frantically pointing up towards the sky, crying out, "Look! Look!" Which I love that, you know...
What do you want him to do?
Yeah, what is he gonna do? Officer, arrest it! It's an orb. It doesn't even have hands, and I can't catch it.
I don't know. The way these police radios are going, we are 3 seconds away from all officers open fire on the light. Open fire on the light.
But this is like getting an officer to try and arrest the bumblebee that stung you. Like, that's a concept that doesn't make any sense. At that moment, the strange orb did more than just hover. A new message blared over the police radio.
Something's burning a hole in the ice. It's something with a bright light on it. It's going up and down.
Local police raced down to the dam near the craft and claimed to witness a beam of light shoot down from the object and hit the ice. Two reservoir employees said that they, quote, saw a bolt of light shoot down as if attracted to the water, like a beam emitted from a porthole. Kev, what are your thoughts so far? Because I'm aware we're moving pretty fast.
You waited until the most insane piece of information that I couldn't possibly react to ask me what my thoughts are.
I say a bunch.
I'm knocking on the glass of this podcast episode going, look, I'm looking for help.
Yeah, I've like told you a bunch of like kind of very basic normal things.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of an orb,
guy,
a little bit of strange. They got really close to it and it turned out the orb had a f***ing balls. Kit, what are your thoughts on today's case?
Right.
Like, about what? The last thing you said or everything?
Yeah, so to recap.
Let's recap.
The Death Star is operational.
I wouldn't say as much as the Death Star.
The double keys have been pulled. The guy with the weird cycling helmet is pulling down the lever.
Yeah.
Fired on this planet.
No, we're not talking about a Death Star cannon here. We're talking about almost like we see in pop culture, in movies and TV shows, some kind of beam coming down.
Almost like a laser beam.
No, not a laser beam. They said like a bolt of light come
Ning.
Down.
What does that like, mean, a bolt of light?
I don't know. I'm just using the words
that
they've been thrown out.
A ray
out.
Of light is what they
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, a ray of light. I guess maybe not like a flashlight beam. Maybe it's a bit more sporadic, a bit weirder, a bit more flickery and distorted.
No one said that.
I'm just, you know, I have to paint with a broad brush here. So many witnesses saw the craft that night. Police officers, locals, the mayor, 14-year-old Billy, for Christ's sake. Reservoir police were forced to close the main gate to try and keep out swarms of onlookers. Sisko and the other town officials stood for half an hour in the cold January weather, watching the otherworldly light. Then, without warning, it sped off to the southeast without making a f***ing sound. Kit, what we are talking about today is known as the Wanaku UFO!
Wow.
This is one of the most reputable and witnessed UFO events in American history. Believe it or not.
I'll decide if it's reputable, thank you very much. Most witnesses.
This is one of the most believable cases we've ever investigated.
Yeah, okay.
The UFO was seen a few more times that evening as it zipped around the town, floating above neighboring lakes, and reports even continued to the next day. Patrolman Jack Wardlaw reported seeing a, quote, bright white disc, and said, "Don't ask me what it was, but I do know it wasn't any helicopter, plane, or comet. It was disc-shaped, and at certain angles, egg-shaped."
Hmm, okay. Well, this is cool. We're getting into a bit of physical description of the thing, because up to now you've said it's just a light source, yeah, which is pretty deeply unhelpful.
Yeah.
But saying it's an egg shape, not the first time we've seen an egg-shaped craft on this paranormal life. Not that often that it happens, but it has happened.
Yeah.
Namely, the big egg in Australia.
The giant egg that I think lifted a car off the ground.
Yeah.
I guess this makes sense, you know, because if a big light is on, mm-hmm, on like a helicopter, and you look up at it, you are just seeing like a circular orb light.
Well, you know? If you're a convict and it's chasing you, yeah. If you're any, right, if you're anybody else, you could see the helicopter, yeah.
Reservoir guard and former Wanaku policeman Charles Theodora also saw the light. He said, "I didn't believe in UFOs. I thought they were a load of bull. And then I saw it." Which is a quote that I really love, because this guy basically got Pirates of the Caribbean. "You best start believing in UFOs, Theodora. You're in one."
Yeah, it's a great vox pop.
Yeah.
Pretty much goes to sum up the case so far.
Yeah, because this is the ultimate witness, where it's like, "I've never believed in UFOs. I thought they were nonsense. My friends have told me they've seen them. I've disowned them. I laugh in the face of aliens. Until last night, where one of them appeared right in front of me, and it was an egg."
Local patrol officer Joe No Nonsense
yeah,
was quoted as saying, "Well, there you go," when he saw the beam, yeah, land on the lake.
Lieutenant Stephen Skeptic was out on patrol that evening, and he came back to the precinct in a tinfoil hat. That's how convincing this thing was. In fact, when Joseph Sisko got home, probably desperate just to relax and unwind, all his wife wanted to talk about was the f***ing silver cigar object she saw above their home.
Now it's a cigar?
Cigar, egg, orb, light. It's from another planet. It doesn't obey the laws of our universe.
Which, not to be bitter again, but I'm pretty sure that I've done a UFO recently where I think the reports were in between egg and cigar.
Yeah.
And you attacked me and got angry. And you're like, "Well, hey, which is it? Well, which is it?"
They're pretty easy to mix up.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Cigar, egg, egg, cigar. You ever eat a cigar for breakfast and smoke an egg? It happens. It happens. If the lights are low enough, it can happen.
I'm pretty sure Winston Churchill's diaries, he does that a few times, gets too drunk. Yeah, but I appreciate it. I appreciate the different...
Yeah.
I mean, we ideally don't want like wildly differing descriptions of what,
right,
something looks like, because then it sort of seems as if people's imaginations are playing a part. But
yeah,
egg shape, cigar shape, these are in the common wheelhouse of UFO descriptors. Also, not flying saucers, which we do also like to see.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is, no one said it looks like a triangle yet. These are all kind of ovally circular, elongated shapes. Nothing too crazy just yet. Now, Kit, we've been in this game for a long time. This isn't our first UFO sighting. It's safe to assume you can guess what happens next. Strangely, the US government became quite interested in the little town of Wanaku. News of the UFO had spread quickly from local law enforcement to nearby Air Force bases. And believe it or not, within less than 24 hours, there was a perfectly normal explanation for what everyone had seen.
"Hello, Wanaku. This is Captain Richardson, stationed here at Newburgh Air Force Base. I heard you lot might have seen one of our helicopters. Yep, one of our regular old helicopters. With one of our new military flashlights, of course. Pretty cool, huh? Anyway, goodbye."
The local police in Wanaku weren't buying a goddamn word of it. So imagine their surprise when the next morning they received another call from an official spokesman for AFB Major Donald Sherman.
Hey, Wanakew. We were told that one of our aircraft had been spotted in your vicinity last night. Just wanted to call and say, that's not true.
What?
I don't know what you saw last night, but it wasn't one of our helicopters. Anyway, have a good one.
What is going on? Who is this secret informant?
Crazy,
changing
right?
Changing the narrative.
And as if this wasn't confusing enough, the day after that, the Pentagon came out and said, actually, it was a helicopter.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we live in North Korea. All right? Everybody...
I hate when you're on my side and you start making bad points I don't agree with.
For the longest time, you've been fed a bunch of horse shit.
That
there's countries out there. Oh, there's... Isn't it great that we live in a land of freedom and f***ing puppy dogs? Because there's a bunch of countries out there where they ain't free. There's a bunch of countries out there where you look at the sky and they say, isn't it great the sky is purple? There's a bunch of countries out there where they say, isn't it great that the Earth popped into existence 20 years ago? And then you say, oh, but I think I remember 20 years ago. And they're like, yeah, you don't. You don't. Because we're telling you what to believe.
Right.
But it turns out, Rory, we got more in common with the stories of these countries that we... I know it sounds like I'm a communist. I'm not. All right, before anyone gets panicked that Kit's saying that we should all move to Russia, I'm not. But what I'm saying is we get told these stories of North Korea's Potemkin cities. Isn't it so sad that they make up these lies?
No, yeah, to control their own the citizens? Population. Yeah, yeah.
When... Rishi Sunak is telling us the same kind of baloney.
You're so close
day
to agreeing
in,
with
day
me.
Out. What I'm trying to say is if we don't think that our military industrial complexes are spinning some of us the same yarns.
Oh, yeah.
From time to time. And I'm not talking about, if you are in the military, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about
the big cheese.
The puppet masters who pull the strings.
Yeah, the people at top. You think they don't lie to you? They have lied to you. We've seen it on this podcast
before. They done been lying to you.
You think we live in the land of the free? Try going to a Burger King with no pants on. Then we'll see how free you are, brother.
Okay.
You're going to end up in jail mighty quick.
Well, that is just a law, though, isn't it?
I was under the impression I could do whatever I want with no consequences. I thought that was freedom.
Try going to a Burger King and ordering a Big Mac and then see how free this country it really is. Because they say, have it your way. What if my way is Big Mac sauce on a Whopper? They will put you in handcuffs, brother. They will. Try ordering a 12-inch meatball marinara out of f***ing Greg's. They will take you out back and shoot you in the head.
What if my way? Oh. So as we said, after the first two explanations, the Pentagon has now come out and said that it was a helicopter. You know that second guy who gave the explanation saying it wasn't a helicopter definitely had to call back and be like,
hey, me again. Guy who said it wasn't a helicopter. Certain family members of mine were taken hostage last night. So I'm here to say it was.
It's come to my attention that I was deeply wrong and I regret
right.
It. Rory, hey, this should go without saying that this is baloney, that this should not up. But
for
why
sure.
Don't we actually play the devil's advocate here and explain why this can't be a helicopter. Just to recap.
Yeah.
Helicopters make too much noise.
Way too much noise.
This thing was said to make no noise.
Yeah.
Also, the widely varying descriptions of the craft, of it being egg-shaped, of it being cigar-shaped.
Yeah.
It does not appear that this was a military-grade flashlight.
No.
If it kind of appeared as just a light source to most people. Now, we're not saying it absolutely cannot be that this was some kind of experimental craft. It could be, in fact, that it is an experimental craft that they're not able to talk about, so they're saying it's
right.
Something else.
Yeah, yes.
But it ain't a helicopter.
Not even from the way it's moving, from the way it looks. I want to remind us all of what Patrolman Jack Wardlaw said. He said he saw a bright white disc, and continued to say, "Don't ask me what it was, but I do know it wasn't any helicopter." He actually says it wasn't any helicopter, plane, or comet.
Yeah, you know, to throw in the last one.
The witnesses tonight, they may be just policemen. They may not be on that higher level. The storm is kicking off outside the window.
Making the cut, but the storm is crazy outside.
Weirdly, as I ramp up my aggression when we talk about this case, I think I just heard a thunder crash.
Yeah, I was trying to defend the weather. That is nuts. That is a bit nuts.
These are people who know what a helicopter is. They know what a plane is, and they know what they're seeing is not either of those things. Now, obviously, the police at Wanaku didn't know what to believe. The official explanation was changing every day. Another Air Force base in Wrightstown said that the object was a weather balloon that had been launched from a nearby airport. Only moments later, the base called again to tell them it wasn't a balloon.
And of course, we know that saying the words weather balloon around me and Rory is like showing a bull a red rag. But a weather balloon is probably the only possible shape that could line up with this, but a lot of the other things and characteristics of this don't necessarily line up with
the movement, the fluidity, the fact that this thing can disappear into the horizon without making a sound.
The let me guess, a giant laser beam that came out and almost imploded the earth.
If balloons could do that, we wouldn't have them at birthday parties. That would be a health hazard. This is my favorite part of the story. Military officials at Stewart Air Force Base and McGuire Air Force Base consistently denied any interest in the possibility of it being a UFO. However, Wanaku police reported seeing a pair of jets fly over the reservoir shortly after the UFO was spotted.
Firing missiles in hot pursuit.
Yeah, I love to imagine. I know it's not really that small, but I love to imagine this little town has never even seen a plane before. And all of a sudden, there's 12 Lockheed Martin F-22s jetting across the sky in some intergalactic battle taking place above their heads. The Pentagon is just like, "Yeah, so the weather balloon we told you about, it started fighting back." As they do sometimes. So, we had to intercept the weather balloon before the weather balloon touched down on Earth and enslaved us. This particular balloon contains four little men from another galaxy. They're like, "Okay, so you're just saying it is a UFO now," basically.
You know, one thing about being a paranormal investigator that will radicalize you is, you know, it's not an unpopular or rare belief to think that the United States military budget is kind of bloated, right? That's not like a controversial take, because the United States military budget is, I think, don't they say, it's basically every other country on Earth's military budget put together is like the size of the US one. It's kind of absurd.
I don't think it's a controversial take to say it's a joke.
that if you kind of take your average Joe's kind of tax dollar, it seems like 99.999 cents of that goes to bombs.
Right.
And the rest into kind of milk cartons for schools or something. But, I used to think that was a bad idea. But the more you start looking into the crafts that are in the airspace of the United States, I'm starting to understand the budget. I'm starting to understand why we might need a couple F-22s on deck on ice. Because once, you know, one of these laser beams burns a hole through a lake, you start to get a little nervous, because you're like, okay, what if a couple more of these eggs come down? Yeah. What if a giant egg comes down and poaches the United States?
The colonels are like, "Yeah, we need 10 more F-22s, because the last time one of those things showed up, we ran out of F-21s.
Right.
They wiped us clean.
What happened to F-1 through 21? How did we get to 22?
Egg is what happened, Your Honor, Mr. President.
I know. I love the idea of like a liberal president, you know, a kind of, you know, Biden being like, you know, "Listen, the American people aren't buying it anymore," talking to all the generals. "We need to rein this in. We need to, hey, guys, even just for optics, we need to shrink this budget." And then one of the generals just snaps. It's like, "They Thanos snapped a warship." They Thanos snapped a warship out of existence. They came on FaceTime. We don't know how, you know, they do that in the movies. Yeah. We don't know how they did it. They appeared on FaceTime. inside the our command headquarters, and they just did this. And then a airship, a warship just disappeared. And Biden's like, all right, let him cook. Let him cook.
Right, yeah.
I'll write a blank check.
Yeah, they're like, Mr. President, you know, we want to let you know why we have to spend this money every year. If you just check out a slide here. So here's a picture of a spaceship we intercepted last year. It's roughly the size of New York City. Roughly the size of New York City. It can travel at the speed of light. And it doesn't obey the laws of physics. Our intel can tell us that this is the research drone sent by the mothership. Right. Are you getting it through your thick skull, Mr. President?
Yeah.
He grabs him by the throat. He's like, how is this allowed?
They start being real passive aggressive, but they're like, but yeah, you know what? I guess you're right. Yeah. No. I guess you're right. I guess we do need more milk cartons for the kids at school. I guess you're right. Parents can buy their own kids' milk. Yeah. So I guess whenever that airship comes down, we can throw milk at it.
Because when the aliens come down and enslave us all, they're going to want the kids to have strong bones. Because I think some of them actually eat children's bones. So, no, that'll be great for the aliens. Yeah. Yum, yum, yum. Healthy children bones. Good job, Mr. President. Oh, yeah. Four more years. By the way, a year to these f***ers is a millisecond. So your life is dust to them, Mr. President.
Biden's like, I wouldn't have run if I had known this is the gravity of the situation. I wouldn't have run. I'm too old for this.
I'm not a politician. I'm not an economist. I'm not a particularly smart man. But I do know a lot of countries.
I like the way we've come full circle from criticizing the military-industrial complex to being like, it's absolutely essential. It is essential that the people do not know the threats that are out there.
Now, what's even more interesting to note is the fact that they saw an object that night. Then the object disappeared. And in the following moments of that evening, Joe Sisko and different officers recall seeing helicopters arrive in Wanacue that night.
Yeah, that's where they f***ed up. By saying it was a helicopter and then sending real helicopters. Because you got a bit of grace period there where people don't quite remember what a helicopter in the sky looks like. Yeah. But as soon as you send the copters.
Yeah, they're like, I guess maybe it could be a helicopter. Oh, that's a helicopter? No. That was an egg. Not only were the military clearly interested in the object and what had happened that night, but there was no clear explanation as to what it really was. Lies were overlapping with lies. The story was changing every day.
Here's where it gets muddy, though, because we're getting it. Remind me what year this was.
1966.
Wow, long time ago. Even today, we know that there's lots of UAPs, UFOs. There's a lot more interest and appetite in US government to try and figure out what is going on.
Sure.
But we do know that what it boils down to is the United States has really admitted in recent years they don't know quite what's going on. And the problem is we always get into this quagmire of we reach the point where we realize it's not US technology. We can see that. They're curious. They want to know what's going on.
They don't know
what's going on. But unfortunately, in 1966, we're still in the period. I mean, we're really kind of in the Cold War where
A lot of secrets.
And they also don't want to admit that they don't know what's going on, which is why we're seeing excuses, because there is also the possibility that we can't ignore that this is another country's technology.
Right.
And realistically, even if we don't believe that today, that is probably, in all likelihood, back in the 60s, what the military was worried about. People have described some crazy shit happening. The reason they sent out those jets is because they're like, F*** it's China, F*** it's Russia.
We might have to blow this thing out of the sky.
Yeah, like, what is it? And they're worried that there it's going to be some technology that is far more advanced than what the US had.
And as you can tell, our evidence and our testimonies that we have, even though it is numerous and a lot of people did see it, it is still quite limited, even in the descriptions of the craft. You know, what we really need is a way to relive the events of that night and find out what the strange object actually was. And believe it or not, Kit, the locals of Wanacue would have their wish granted. Because on October 10th, just 9 months later, the object would return. And this time, we'd get some real evidence.
It had a baby?
Nine months later? Baby orb. We are going to reveal that evidence right after a quick word from today's sponsors. On October 10th, 1966, Officer Bob Gordon received a strange call.
Hello. Me and my wife Betty here. Say hi, Betty.
Hello.
Me and Betty have seen something a little odd in the sky and thought we'd call it in. It's like a saucer moving in a pattern around a tower nearby. Just thought you boys would be interested.
So Officer Gordon passed on the message, and before you know it, a patrolman was dispatched to check it out. By the time he arrived, the object was gone, but he was told exactly where it was heading. To the Wanacue Reservoir.
Oh no.
It's happening again! The officer radioed Sergeant Ben Thompson, a 6-year veteran of night duty with the Wanacue Reservoir Police Department, who was on patrol along the reservoir at the time.
Sergeant Thompson, we have reports of a light in the sky heading down in your direction towards the reservoir. Did you see anything?
Huh. I suppose I can take a peek out the window.
Thompson looked out of his car to see a glowing UFO barreling right towards him in the sky.
I suppose I could take a look out the... Whoa!
Jesus! Thompson's description of the craft is exactly what we're looking for, Kit. He described it as a bright white light, bright like when a bulb is about to blow. He said it went straight over my head, stopped in midair, backed right up. Then it started zigzagging from left to right. It was doing tricks, making acute angular turns instead of gradual curved ones. He said, I had difficulty seeing because the light was so bright that it blinded me. Once again, the commotion was so overwhelming that other motorists along the reservoir began to pull over to watch the light. So many stopped that Thompson had to throw on his sirens and lights as a warning. He claims the instant it started to flash, the object disappeared.
What?
Pretty crazy. I guess this thing was flying around. Everyone was here watching. He was scared someone was going to get hurt or traffic was going to build up. So he turns on the siren, turns on his light on top of his cop car, and whatever this thing is, freaks out and jets off.
Yeah, but does it disappear or jets off? Because that's the thing confusing me. Because if it disappears, it's an optical illusion. It's crazy. I turned on my light and then it just like vanished. That's
right.
Nuts.
That was a poor choice of words when I'm talking about something that in theory could just disappear.
Yes.
It flew away.
Mm-hmm.
It flew away. It didn't activate a cloaking device and dematerialize in front of him. Now, I know what you're thinking. This doesn't really help us because even though we have a second sighting, more police officers, more witnesses, we don't really have any more to go on right now. But Kit, luckily, one of the individuals that night managed to capture the craft on camera.
This is what we need.
That's right. Claude Coutant was there that night with his trusty camera and managed to take at least 5 photos of the craft, including what would become known as the beam shot.
Whoa.
Usually when it comes to evidence on this podcast, we get the Jim Beam shot, which is a drunk hillbilly taking a picture of a raccoon and calling it Bigfoot. Kit, are you ready to see a picture of this UFO?
I'm salivating.
Take a look at this. All right, sometimes when paranormal evidence is so overwhelming, a witness can break down into hysterics, and I think that's what we're seeing now. The human mind incapable of comprehending the truth of the universe.
I can speak for myself, thank you very much. All right. It's very blurry.
Describe it, you son of a bitch. Don't just laugh.
It's very...
And then leave 10 seconds of silence, because now the people listening are building images in their heads that it's a f***ing puppet, or it's a cutout from a magazine. This is a photograph of a UFO! Hovering over a reservoir. That's what it is.
Brother, if you showed this to someone who had not been primed with 45 minutes of podcasting before, they would not say that that is a UFO floating over a reservoir. They would say it's kind of some blurry shapes.
I mean, I think I have all 5 here.
There you go.
There you go. Look at it go. It's moving. We're seeing the craft turning. Okay, the beam doesn't look great. The beam doesn't look great. What do you have to...
Oh, shit.
We're photographing something from another planet. Do you understand?
This is...
Imagine trying to take...
It's on our planet. It's on our planet. It might be from another planet, but it's on our planet. That's not an excuse.
This is like trying to take a Polaroid picture of goo, of gas. You ever try and take a picture of the moon on your iPhone? It looks like shit. It looks like shit. It looks terrible. Yeah, because and if you showed someone it, they would say, that's not the moon. That's a grain of rice.
Because, let's just be very clear, because it's about 500,000 miles away.
True.
Whereas this craft was supposedly a couple hundred meters away.
It was in the sky, yeah.
I'm only laughing because, so we've got a kind of, I don't know what you'd call that. It's not a triptych because it's five pictures, but it's a series of five images. It looks like if Andy Warhol had been commissioned to make a kind of pop art series
right.
about a UFO, it's like just kind of tastefully, completely stark, black and white, very distinct, looks like screen printed images of a very vague fried egg shape, not even whenever you said egg shaped earlier, everyone was picturing an
in the
egg
shell.
Not a fried egg. Not a fried egg. This is a classic 50s, 60s fried egg flying saucer shape. Nothing like what has been described. And by the way, the beam Rory described earlier. He described a kind of gritty remake, Michael Bay style. It was like a kind of gritty, flickering on and off, sort of shaky beam of light. This is just a tractor beam. It's not even a ray of light.
Well, that's what it looks like in the photograph. Okay?
That is what it looks like in the photograph. There's nothing else, by the way. It's a completely black background, as if it's been photoshopped out, then a completely white outline of a fried egg saucer and a tractor beam.
Look, we're talking about a camera in 1966 taking a picture of something ridiculously bright against the completely dark sky. It is a, it's
yeah, you're
a miracle.
Right. It is ridiculously bright. It's the brightest thing that has ever existed. It's the brightest object since the creation of man in the Garden of Eden.
It does look like if someone tried to take a picture of the Chernobyl reactor. Like, it's nuclearly bright. It's just nothing.
It broke the camera.
It's just completely white.
You have some nerve. The reaction that this would get from Rory if I showed him these photos is...
Hey, I'm bringing... Let's talk about the first photo then, all right? Because this was in a newspaper. There's a bit more detail in this one. That could just be bad prints, the second one. Because look here, we're seeing like a bit of lake, a bit of hill, a bit of sky. Granted, now it looks like a ghost.
Yeah, there's more detail. The detail isn't good. The detail doesn't help. It looks like a ghost. It does... Actually, now you mention it, the whole thing looks like a kind of a Victorian ghost captured on film in the 1800s, not even 1966.
I regret nothing. All right. It's an integral part of this case, and I'm glad I brought it up.
Can you address the allegations that this is a completely different shape? Can you please address the allegations?
I said egg. I never said eggshell.
Oh, my God. No, you said cigar. You said egg/cigar.
Hey, turn an egg on its side, and it looks like a cigar. Look at this. That looks like a fried egg, doesn't it? I'm showing kid a picture of a UFO.
Yes, yes.
Now imagine if it turns to just reveal the bottom. You're looking at a cigar shape. You're looking
talking.
Possibly at an egg shape.
Stop talking.
The Wanacue police said that night, on October 10th, they received over 150 calls about an object in the sky. So many calls that the station switchboards were jammed for hours. Now, Thompson, the officer who had seen the object fly towards him by the reservoir, later did an interview with a man named Dr. John Pagano, describing not only what he saw that night, but what happened in the aftermath. Not only did the object return that night, but the military did too. Kit, would you like to read this section of the transcript of the interview?
Sure thing.
Well, Doctor, to tell you the truth, I don't know at that time, but it wasn't within 15 or 20 minutes after we sighted this thing that there was at least six helicopters, and I would say from 20 to 30 to 40 planes flying over the same area where I said on the radio, on the police radio, that it had disappeared.
Once again, we are seeing this craft appear in the night sky and then a suspicious amount of military activity arriving at the site moments afterwards. Now, if you weren't feeling insulted enough by the 14 different random explanations given by the military, eventually the Pentagon settled with this. They said that the object that hundreds of people had witnessed in the skies above Wanaku, the same object that glowed like a beacon, shot a beam into the ice, and disappeared into random directions.
Here we go.
Was simply Venus and Jupiter aligning.
Yes! Yes!
They said it Hell was yes. some kind of rare celestial event. That's what it was.
I'm like, we've been doing this long enough, investigating the paranormal for long enough, that I'm like a wine connoisseur for military bullshit explanations. I'm like swirling the explanation in a little glass and sniffing it like, oh, that's a good one.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Oh, sir, could I interest you in a little Wanaku 66? a little vintage excuse here.
Ah, yes.
Saying it was planets aligning. Yeah. Mm, oh, that's good.
Notes of celestial nonsense. that is a good one. Because these days, you know, we have a more, I guess, maybe technologically advanced society, more kind of educated society. More people going to university and beyond these days. So, you know, they got to get a little technical these days when they come up with an explanation.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be saying, oh, you know, you guys don't understand. This is a UA-22, a 350 drone. It's one of our most advanced technologies that have come out of the Boeing advanced research and development program that we've partnered with Airbus and Boeing over the last 25 years. You know, they're going to throw in a couple more numbers and phrases.
Yeah, turn you off.
Back in the day, They were just throwing out. They let the coffee guy throw out the explanations
right, yeah.
for the press.
It's absolutely ridiculous. An insult to the policemen, the servicemen who were all there that night, and the witnesses in this town who clearly saw something that wasn't a helicopter, a plane, a comet, a weather balloon. It was, and it definitely wasn't a f***ing planet.
Yeah,
I think they'd be able to tell. These people aren't stupid. All right.
Listen, there's a reason why only nerds are into, like, star shit. No one was ever standing around the coffee machine in work being like, hey, what were you up to last night? And it's like, you know, well, I was just going to, like, watch a movie, watch Netflix, chill out last night, you know, eat a couple snacks on the sofa. But the crossing of Jupiter and Venus was so blinding through my windows that I couldn't even watch. I couldn't even watch Emily in Paris.
Right.
No one has ever said that shit because those celestial events are so easy to miss. You have to know, you have to follow it. You have to know exactly what's happening, when it's happening.
Yeah.
The weather conditions would have to be right. I don't know if you've ever tried to hunt one of these events down. They're pretty subtle. They're pretty subtle.
Yeah.
Like I used to be into that kind of shit whenever I was a kid, and it would be like, oh, like Jupiter is really visible right now. And you go out and it's like, yeah, I guess it's like a little brighter than the other stars. If you really look, it might be a little bright.
The amount of times I've gone out to try and see what the news is calling the biggest meteor shower of the decade or the Northern Lights or some celestial event and sat outside in the freezing cold with a hot cocoa for 3 hours and seen jack shit.
And
absolutely nothing.
And we grew up in a town similar size to this.
Yeah.
Even the light pollution. I mean, yes, in a town that size, you can see the stars. But even the light pollution is going to kill any celestial event that's kind of really interesting. You really would have to be somewhere a bit darker, a bit more sparse to see something like that.
Yeah. So when something like this happens and it's so blinding, people are swerving their cars to the side of the road and running out on the highway to get a look at it.
They're smashing on police car glass and saying, look, look.
Yeah. Why would you ever, if you saw a shooting star, do you run up to a police officer's car and be like, make a wish, make a f***ing wish? You don't. So what would it have to take for that situation to happen? It would have to be something that is out of this world. Unfortunately, like all of these situations, it doesn't matter whether or not the locals believe them. All that matters is they had an excuse and they stuck with it, eventually after changing it 6 times. To this day, no one really knows what the object was that appeared at Wanaku. But the stories and the legends live on. There's still people who witnessed the events at the time who are alive to this day and still swear by what they saw. It's actually become quite a popular UFO story in pop culture. I'm showing Kit now. This is actually really cool. I believe at one point there was...
Show me another watercolor painting.
It was okay. A comic book adaptation that depicted the events of that night, kind of like a artistic, like fun representation.
I started reading it anime style, right to left, until I realized it's not anime, or it's not manga.
I might post this picture when we upload the video on our socials, because it is really cool. The title is Attack at Wanaku, and you can see some of the rangers in old-timey comic book style staring up at the sky at a very bright, glowing UFO object right by the dam. It does a good job of kind of like artistically representing what it may have looked like to the passengers
sure.
that day. Really cool stuff. As you can see, this is a story that has kind of transcended the years. You know, I think a lot of these UFO stories, they happen. There's legends, there's rumors, people sharing what they saw. There's an explanation, and it kind of gets shut down. You might read about it one day in a forum or online in an old-timey news report. But the Wanaku UFO, still a thing to this day. People really believe that it did happen. And especially people in New Jersey, if you ask anyone about these events, a lot of them will swear to it.
Very cool.
But of course, Kit, at the end of every episode, we have to decide whether or not we think what happened in this case could genuinely be paranormal. We have to decide whether it's a yes or whether it's a no. Can these events be explained logically? Do we think there's enough here to say that something weird was going on? We have to decide. We have to come down on our conclusion. I'm going to throw it to you first.
Okay. Lots to think about. Let me start by asking you a question. Look me in the eye and tell me you believe in those photos. Rory is staring off into space. He refuses to make eye contact.
Yes.
He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. This is a great case. Great case.
Oh, I just sealed my f***ing fate, didn't I?
Loved,
That was the last nail in the coffin. Hey, before you come down on a conclusion, though, before you come down, because I see you're already kind of wrapping up.
No, I'm not.
You look really...
I did use the word loved. I was like, I loved this. I did.
Loved. It's gone. You look great today, by the way. Did I mention that? Just really healthy glow.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
You don't believe that. Okay.
No, let me finish my point. Sir. The honorable gentleman will speak and he will finish his point. There is a world in which those photographs aren't necessarily accurate, but something did happen that night. There's a world where both of those things can be true.
Yeah, you know? There's a world where the photos aren't accurate, which is a great way of saying they're nonsense.
Sure. I was very choice in my words.
That a case happened with absolutely no evidence behind it. It is true.
I don't know if you would call testimony from multiple law enforcement officers and over 150 witnesses not true. But that's fine, you know.
Let's list the pros.
Ding.
Tons of great testimony from reliable witnesses from different walks of life on two different occasions, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Similarity of description of the thing and of the phenomena.
A comical variety in reputable witnesses as well.
Sure.
The mayor just showed up out of nowhere and
don't know why
this
we
thing.
Talked to his 14-year-old son.
Billy had a lot to say.
Yeah, he sure did. Don't know why we don't have a photo. Of the big hole. It claimed to have blasted a hole in the ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't get a photo of that.
And that is a claim that is mentioned a number of times. So that definitely happened.
Don't know why we didn't get that. Don't know why that didn't happen.
A photo of the ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That did bother me a little bit as well. Because even when it's first reported, it's reported as being a fire. There's a fire. Maybe they just saw the glowing light and didn't know what it was. But I agree. I'm a little disappointed. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have looked like anything. What does light do to ice? Melt it a little bit? Maybe we could have a picture of a hole.
Yeah, if it's strong enough.
But
yeah,
if it's in the middle of a frozen reservoir, can you even get out there? Is it dangerous to go on the ice? I don't know. It's tricky.
The photos are nonsense. Photos are, it's not impossible that they are. Like, film photography is notoriously difficult, tricky, depending on what type of camera you're shooting on, there might be absolutely no settings available to you. It is possible that you take a photo of something so bright that it gives you these high contrast images. It's all possible, but the problem is the images are just too poor to really go off of. And in my view, don't necessarily line up with the descriptions we had heard before. So I don't love them.
I actually think they're pretty good pictures for a camera in 1966, taken in the dead of night against a black sky with a white glowing craft.
We need a term. We can call it like Rory's paradox or something for like for his opinion of cameras when he's hosting a case versus his opinion of because whenever I host a case, he'll be like, "This happened in 1863," and I googled it, and the first cameras that were invented in rural China actually existed in the 1700s, so checkmate. We should have GoPro 4K footage of this event in Victorian England.
I mean, what were we rocking in the 60s? It was still film and, I guess, Polaroid maybe at that point? Or was that like the 70s, 80s?
You had all manner of film cameras. So, lots of different types of film cameras.
Okay.
Pretty available to people, but film cameras nonetheless, so, you know.
I'll admit, it's great that we have evidence for this case. That is very rare. It's unfortunate when the evidence pushes it closer to a double no. That is disappointing.
It's not
makes me wonder
outcome.
Whether I should have included the evidence at all, quite frankly. But, you know, this was a reputable enough case, even worldwide, that here you go. I'll show you another picture kit. These are just some of the headlines that followed the events. This was not global, but presumably national news. So many articles, all written in multiple newspapers about the reservoir in Wanacue and the strange object.
Yeah, we've got the New York Times there. Bright flying disc reported in Jersey. And, you know, and probably also because of its proximity to the East Coast and New York and that world. It'll have been probably reported on pretty heavily.
So I don't think we need to talk about it anymore. I'm sure the minds have been made up by ourselves and the listeners. Let's come down on our conclusions. Kit, what are you saying today?
A really tremendously interesting case that I would even like to know more about. I can't believe it's passed by on my radar. And lots of hallmarks of even later, more recent and more documented UAP sightings. So that's kind of cool. It all lines up. But especially with UFOs, because it's a big physical event, evidence is the name of the game. Those photos don't do it for me, especially right. When we compare to events like the Phoenix Lights, where we've got 3D models of the flight paths of UFOs. The bar for evidence can be high with UFOs. So that's why for me, it's a no today.
And for me, it's time to up the defense spending because there's an egg in the sky. I'm giving this one a yes. I think there's enough here. There's enough credible testimonies from witnesses who claim to know exactly what they saw. The descriptions are enough. The photos are enough for me to say that night something paranormal happened. So I'm giving it a yes.
Wow. Yet another disagreement in the commune.
Yeah, we've had a few of those recently, which is worrying. You know, a lot of people think it's a sign of a civil war to come. And to those people, I would say, you're right.
The defense spending in Rory's camp is going up. It could be a controversial take. I probably will get cooked in the comments for this one, but
it is a tough one.
You will make your own decisions up.
Yeah, please let us know if you're listening to this podcast. What do you think? Maybe we'll do a poll on social media. Let us know whether or not you think there is some truth to today's episode.
Before you saute and flambé me.
Don't tell them to look at the photos.
Just go on YouTube, check out this. If you're listening to this
podcast,
they're
actually very hard to find.
Head over to YouTube. Yeah, exactly. So head over to our YouTube, check the full-length video. The pictures will be on there.
Cloud is a hard man to track down, and his photographs are as elusive as the craft itself.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, don't be too thrown off the case by looking at the photographs. Remember, it was an old-timey cameras and stuff. Remember the testimonies. Remember the journey we went on today.
Hey, can I bring up, just for fun, can I bring up an old piece of evidence that we talked about in a recent case, didn't have it, and then someone tweeted it to me?
Yes. Yes, you can.
So we could just get like a lightning round reaction.
Ooh, I like this little follow-up.
Haha. So thank you very much to Aslan Silva, whose name I, of course, recognize, a long-time listener of TPL, who hit up This Paranormal Life and my and your Twitter accounts and said, hey, hey, was listening to the Mucky episode.
Oh.
You guys mention an anomalous sonar scan. And I think we have a bit of an argument about you're like, but it's sonar. It's like, it's just a dot. How could they see that there was a 30-foot sea beast in the scan?
Right.
He said, here's the anomalous scan. Didn't sound like you had the image itself in your research pile. It's a hard one to find. So super appreciated this. Rory, check out the scan from Muckross Lake in the investigation into Mucky.
Okay. So, right, whatever they're scanning with sonar is much more visual than I thought. It's not your classic submarine boom.
Yeah.
Kind of beeping dot.
In my limited experience of being on a boat, on a small sailboat, I think this is like some pretty standard issue shit. I think if you're a fisher, this is what they use.
Yeah.
Because they can see how deep the ocean floor is and they can see objects.
Yeah. In hindsight, I should have known about sonar mapping, which is a real thing they use to actually figure out what the bottom of the ocean looks like.
In it.
But we can see the bottom of the lake in this picture, and above it, we can see a massive unidentified object, which looks pretty enormous. So we do actually have a bit of a visual of whatever people believe the creature is.
Do you want to revise your conclusion
still
for the
no.
end of that episode? What?
Still a no.
Come on now.
Until we reopen the case officially, my ruling stands. Unless,
wow.
Unless maybe you want to revisit your conclusion on today's case.
Has some new evidence come to light? Yeah. Other than the crummy photo?
Bro, people are blinded enough in today's case. Nothing new needs to come to light. We have one yes and one no at the end of this podcast. A show
and that
divided.
Storm is just, the storm is reflecting the civil war that is
wild.
Coming.
Wild. Things are, a storm is brewing both in and out of the studio. But we're going to power right through. Thank you so much to everyone for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. Another groundbreaking UFO case. I hope you guys loved it. If you have listened to this week's episode, last week's episode, if you've listened to all the episodes of This Paranormal Life and you want more, Kit, where can they get them?
They can head to patreon.com/thisparanormallife. This is the kind of long-standing home of This Paranormal Life. You know, we started this show, gather around children for story time. We started the show in 2017. Hard to believe.
Sorry, can you speak up? Because the storm is so loud.
We are running out of time and tape. And Jesus Christ.
When we started this show.
You know it was hailing this morning.
Some of the children
crazy.
Who gathered around are no longer gathered. The night took them.
But
the wind took them.
We started
them.
The show, I think, in May 2017. And we're making it for a while. And I think Patreon was pretty early days back then, but we wanted a way of course, financially supporting the show, but of, crucially, doing these bonus episodes, creating extra content that our listeners could get. And do you know when we launched it, Roy? Pop quiz, do you remember when we launched Patreon?
No.
Halloween Day 2017.
Good idea.
October 31st, which was super fitting. And
wow.
Best decision of our lives, apparently, because all these years later, we are still going. We are still dropping bonus content every single week now.
Yeah.
To Patreon.
We've been releasing weekly behind the scenes after parties. As Kit said, we've been releasing monthly bonus episodes. There's so much additional content over on Patreon. If you enjoy this show and you want to support it, that is the way to do it. But I know you don't want to spend your hard-earned cash without hearing a little sample first. You don't want to buy the cookie without having a nibble. You don't want to get
That's
the ice
works,
cream.
Yeah. Well,
you don't want to get the ice cream without having a little sample pot.
You should have said that one, yeah.
But you never had
we
a
can cut
sample
cookie.
Cookie? You never had a sample cookie?
Yeah.
Sometimes between you and me, I only eat the samples. I'll go in there with a couple different outfit changes. I'll get one of every cookie. I'm sorry.
It's quite affordable. It is quite affordable. You don't need to kind of steal.
Well, you know, it's super affordable when you steal it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You don't spend
is.
A goddamn penny.
Let's cut to that sample.
Why don't we give you a sample of the bonus episode right now? Some people believe that Elvis was cast as a background extra in the classic movie Home Alone.
I'm going to jump off a bridge.
There's a scene midway through the film.
No.
That shows a character arguing with an airline employee to try and get back to the kid.
There's someone in the background. There's an extra in the background, a bearded character in a sports coat. And let me tell you something, he looks a lot like Elvis.
I feel claustrophobic.
The unnamed actor in the film could actually be the once thought deceased king of rock and
roll. Look at that.
Elvis Presley actually dyed his hair throughout his appearances. Better look at him. You can see John Candy's character.
He doesn't look anything like him. He doesn't look anything like him. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
No.
And he doesn't look anything. He looks like Rasputin. This is the last guy on Earth to look like Elvis.
If you want another little peek into just how insane the inside of these people's minds are, the website where I found this theory also felt the need to bring up the fact that if you rearrange...
No, if you stop talking.
If you rearrange,
I don't like where this is going.
The name Kevin McAllister, you can spell out, I am Elvis.
It's a long ass name.
What does that mean?
It's a long
ass
name.
What does that mean? It's not even using all the letters. It just can spell it. It's not like a perfect
puzzle. It can spell so many
puzzle.
Oh, I am weak. I can't do this anymore.
Oh my gosh. Hey, what a great
we have fun
podcast. You're going to want to check out those bonus episodes. As I said, it's the best way to support the show, and we really appreciate all of that support. And of course, along with the additional audio content and the cool merchandise available, you can also get your own shout out at the end of the podcast. And that's what we're going to do right now. So thank you to Joseph Fior.
They call him Explosives Joseph because he's an explosives expert.
Nice.
Started early in life, kind of, he tried one bag of Pop Rocks and there's no looking back.
Oh,
he was like, what is this? His parents were like, it's like sweets, isn't it? It's candy. He was like, no, it's more than that, mother.
It's a slippery slope. You start with the Pop Rocks, then you get a box of those little snappers. You throw on the ground.
Start scaring old people and cats.
And then all of a sudden, you're looking online to how to build a bomb.
Yeah.
And that's
He's in
Joseph.
Guantanamo.
He is. It's nice that they let you listen to podcasts. Thank you also to Sam Jensk.
Sam Jensk, a.k.a. Kablam Jensk. That's right. Another explosives expert. I don't know why
Jesus.
They made their way in. I think they were attracted to this episode because we talked so much about the military.
Right.
They thought there'd be a couple explosions. Sorry to disappoint, Sam.
They heard us discussing increasing the military budget, the defense spending, and they were like, whoa, hey, well, I've been supporting you guys on Patreon for at least a month now. Yeah. So I thought I'd hop in here just see if there's any of that change going to explosives.
Yeah, I don't know if the military needs Sam. Kablam
right.
Sam. I think they have more kind of reputable dealers for that kind of stuff.
They need serious Sam. That's another weapons expert. And thank you. Lastly, but not leastly, to Justine Darren.
Justine Darren, or as they call her, Darren Justine, because she does so many death-defying stunts. We're talking jumping over a school bus on a motorbike.
Nice.
We're talking breaking into a bank and stealing the contents.
Hell
We're
yeah.
talking beating someone almost to death and mugging them. We're
Ooh,
talking.
That one's not so, a stunt. That's a crime. That huh? last one is a crime.
No, they're all like death-defying feats. Like,
It sounded like that last one, she inflicted death.
Right.
Didn't defy
it. We're talking like, okay, taking a high-powered vehicle, okay, right, like in the first example,
yeah.
and driving it through the door of a bank, and then saying, get the f*** out! Get the f*** out!
Okay.
And then
don't swear during the shout-outs. Okay.
That's just what she said.
The only way these are death-defying stunts is because it's a miracle she hasn't been given the electric chair. It's a miracle she hasn't been executed by the state.
Yeah, the first example when she went over the school bus on a motorbike, it was to, yeah, you're right, smash through the doors of a bank and take the contents.
Right,
it's
unnecessary to jump the school bus. Justine, we do need badasses in the commune, so please do join us. Thank you to everyone that supports us on Patreon. We couldn't make this show without your support, so we really appreciate it. Of course, we will be back with the after party on Friday with a bonus episode at the end of the month. And back next Tuesday for another paranormal adventure with your buddies, Rory and Kit.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.